Chanukah, Mr. Hashem, will be the yahrzeit of Rav Avraham Moshe ben Pshischa. Rosh Chodesh Teves, Rav Avraham Moshe was the only son of Rav Buna ben Pshischa. He had two daughters, aside from Rav Avraham Moshe. And Rav Buna said about his son that he was such a big neshama, he ganived him from Tachas Kisei HaKavod. So he said. So they can have ways of stealing neshamas. He said this was a big one. And he brought him into the world. Mitachas Kisei HaKavod. He has said about him as well that he was connected to the neshama of Yeravim ben Nevat. You know, Yeravim ben Nevat was one of the greatest neshamas who's ever lived. He made the wrong decision. And he said that the keshi between Avraham Moshe and Yeravim ben Nevat was that Yeravim went the wrong way and Avraham Moshe was here to go the right way. He was so close, super close to his father, Rav Bunim. Everywhere he went, he taught him. And with the Ptira of Rav Bunim, he assumed being the Rebbe. Now, it was very complicated because Rav Moshe was only 27 years old when his father, Rav Bunim, passed away. And we'll see in a few moments stories about how this came about. And we don't have much about Rav Avraham Moshe because he only lived a year and a half after that. He only lived to the age of 29. A year and a half after the passing of his father, he passed away. In fact, with the Ptira of Simcha Bonim, everybody was devastated and broken. The Shiloh was who was going to take over. And we'll see momentarily Rav Avraham Moshe succeeded his father, although he was very young. But many Chassidim went along with the Kotzker. Because the Kotzker was Taman Muvak of Rabbanim. And the Kotzker didn't want to assume being a Talmud of Rav Avraham Moshe. And when asked why, he replied and he said, "Amnam, it is true, he's Eish Lahava, but that fire will extinguish very shortly."
Oh, yeah, yeah.
He knew Baruch HaKodesh that he wasn't going to have a long life. And for that reason, he didn't want to become a Talmud of Rav Moshe. Many followed the Kotzker. The most famous of them was the Chiddush Yerim. But most followed Rav Moshe and the great Talmidim of Rav Simcha Bonim, such as Rav Yitzchak Varki and other great giants like that.
When he died, they reunited with Kotzker?
No, they never reunited.
No, well, he died. Where was it?
Avraham Moshe was the Varki Rebbe, Rav Yitzchak Varki was. But there was a yedidus and a chashivas and a covered between. There was not like a machlekes. It was just the Kotzker and then there was a Rav Moshe. So the shidduch of Rav Moshe, he was only bar mitzvah at the time. So he, even though he passed away at 29, he was married for 15 years. So what happened was is that Rav Simcha Bonim was sitting together learning with his Rebbe, who was the Rebbe of Rav Simcha Bonim, the Yid HaKadosh. And they were in the middle of learning, and the Yid HaKadosh said, "You know, I have a granddaughter, Brindel, and you have a son, Avraham Moshe. No, let's make the Shidduch." So Rav Simcha Bonim agreed immediately, made a L'chaim, and he went back home and he told his Rebbetzin, "You know, Avraham Moshe is engaged." Only by mitzvah. She was very upset about that. And she says, "Who are you being mesharach him to? What chassid shaita? did you mesharach to this?" He said, "No, the granddaughter of the Yid HaKadosh, of the Rebbe." So she was very excited about that, very happy to hear about the shidduch. And so by the time the chasanah took place, you know, they didn't wait that long, but the Yid HaKadosh already had left the world. Nevertheless, he still came to the chasana, because Rav Bunim, Rav Brindel ended up living very long. She lived over the age of 90, the wife of Avraham Moshe. She had a tremendous habichas olam. He only lived to the age of 29. So she lived a long, long time to tell the stories, and she said that by the chasana, by my chasana, so we were waiting a long time for my father-in-law, Rav Simcha Bonim, to come to the chasana, to come out of the room. And time was going by. And finally, he came out and he said, "Baruch Abba Yid HaKadosh. Mazel tov, mazel tov." Like the Rebbe had come. The Yid HaKadosh had come to the chasna of his granddaughter. And he was waiting to start the chasna until the Yid HaKadosh came.
Yitzchak wasn't.
Yeah. He wasn't alive at the time. Yeah.
Got it.
Yeah.
Wasn't
How did he become Rebbe? So after the Petit Rav of Simcha Bunim, which was shortly before Rosh Hashanah, Yud Beis Elul. So nevertheless, the Olim came to Pshischa Rosh Hashanah with the intention of being Memana, Rabitzikal Verker, as being the next Rebbe. Because they assumed that the Rav Moshe was too young, wasn't really much of a Havamina. And Rav Yitzchak Verker was known. He was also he had a Hadras Panim. He was like a Malach Elokim. So they came to be by Rav Yitzchak. And so it was Rosh Hashanah night, and everybody was by Rav Yitzchak. And Rav Moshe picked up the cup, you know, like to hand it to the Rav Yitzchak Verker to make Kiddush. So he was holding the kais in his hand, and before he made Kiddush, he was being misbinding. And all of a sudden, tears started to stream down his eyes. And he opened up his eyes, and he looked at Rav Moshe. He says, "No, the Kiddush is for you to make." He handed him the kais, and with that, everybody understood that Rav Moshe was going to be the Rebbe. He must have like come to him, like Rav Simcha Bunim, and told him, like, you know, it's not your time to be the Rebbe. Rav Moshe is the Rebbe. Whatever was going on in those few moments that he was crying and holding the kais Rosh Hashanah, but by giving the kais to Rav Moshe and seeing the haskam of Rav Yitzchak, everybody understood that Rav Moshe was going to be the Rebbe. Rav Moshe was very weak by nature. He was very frail. He was very sickly most of the time. Masha Einkein, Rav Yitzchak Verker was, like I said, he was very tall, he was very regal, and a hadras panim, a malach elokim. So, nevertheless, he was mevatel himself to a much younger Rav Moshe. And they once traveled together, and another tzaddik, who was also very tall and prestigious looking. And they came to the city of Nikolsburg to see the Goyen, the tzaddik, or Mordechai Benet. He wasn't amongst the Hasidim, and he invited them in. And he said, "Where do you come?" They said, "We come from Poland." So he says, "One of you must be the Reish. One of the three of you must be the Reish." And from the looks of it, it looks like the frail small one is the Reish. He was able to see, just by looking at them, that it wasn't Rav Yitzchak and it wasn't the other tzaddik, it was Rav Moshe. And he said after that Shabbos that Rav Moshe spent by Mordechai Benet, he said, "If it wouldn't be such a tircha for me in my old years," he said, "I would run to Poland to be with the Rav Moshe." That's what he said about a much younger. The Mordechai Benet was the Gadol Ador. They said about the Rav Moshe. Rav Yitzchak Verker said about him. He said many, many shvachim and muflagim about Rav Moshe. He called him the Yanuka from the Zohar HaKadosh. Called him the Yanuka because he was very young. He called him the golden azung, zanig, which means like the golden bell. And the Ben HaYafim Mikol HaBanim, the son who was the most beautiful amongst all of the children. He was a very fiery tzaddik, Rav Moshe. Like in the fashion of Pshischa, you couldn't see any haslavas from him when he davened. Everything was very still, everything was very quiet, without any tzumos. He spent a lot of time in the forest, being misboided. There was a forest near Pshischa. He would go there for hours every day and be misboided. And one time he came back, and there was a yid who was standing there, and he watched Rav Moshe come back into the shul, and to Davin Meyer, he said he didn't make a move. You didn't see any hislavas. He says, but underneath where he was standing by that Shemana Esrei, still a Shemana Esrei, there was a puddle, like a river of tears after he left that makom, rivers of tears. He said he was such a fiery tzaddik, although he didn't show it. You know, in the freezing cold winters in Poland, he would go outside only with like a very light, very thin shirt. He didn't wear a coat, didn't wear a jacket of any type. And even the shirt which he wore was very light because he was very hot by nature. So much so, he was hot, that in the winters, it wasn't even enough for him to be outside. They had to put ice on his head in order to cool him down because of his Islavas. That's how fiery he was in terms of his Islavas. It was physically manifested himself.
Into the ice plunge, you're saying?
Yeah. So when he would say, because he was very ill and very sickly, and he had an inyu with Tehillim by him was gold. That was one of his main avodas, was to say Tehillim. The doctors told him that he's not allowed to say Tehillim because it would cause all types of problems physically for him. So he said, "Give me just, I could say one pasuk." So they said you could say one pasuk. So he started to say Halelu es Hashem kol goyim, and then blood starting to come from his body. Just from one pasuk of Tehillim. He said it was such a dveikus and such a fire for the Eibishter that whatever machla came out because of that dveikus. So just from one pasuk, he couldn't even say when it got to a point. Friday night, Bunim was making tish, was holding tish, and the Hasidim were sitting in like a half circle around the Rebbe, and in the middle, Rav Avraham Moshe came in. And he came in without like any of his Shabbos clothes on. He was in a big dveikus, and he came in with only his yarmulke, and he didn't have like his strimble or anything like that. And he didn't even realize, you know, the state that he was coming in because of his dveikus. And they put a chair next to him by the Rebbe for Rav Avraham Moshe. And Rabbanim started to say, so no, who's going to sing Kol Mekadesh? You know, the Rebbe appoints somebody to sing at the Tish. Who's going to sing Kol Mekadesh? So everybody who was suggested, the Rebbe said, nah. So he pointed to Rav Avraham Moshe, and he didn't want to sing it, but his father and sister that he should sing Kol Mekadesh. I can't do it. Oh. Okay. So, that's okay, it's Yehuda. Okay. So he said, I want Rav Avraham Moshe to sing. Sing Kol Mekadesh. So he had no choice but to start to sing. So he started to sing Kol Mekadesh. And when he came to the words Kidvar HaMelech V'dasai, he got out of his chair and he went over to his father and he said, Good Shabbos, Tate. Good Shabbos. And he picked up and he left. And he couldn't sing anymore. Basically, he couldn't sing anymore the Zmiras because he felt that his neshama would leave because of the dveikas what he had. So he had to stop in the middle of the Zmiras and he just got up. He said, Good Shabbos, Tate. And he left. So Abunim said after that, he said, I don't know what's chas I was zeichet to have a child like this. That's what he said. I don't even know what's chas I had to have a child like this. The Chayza once said he was walking through a forest in Poland, and he said, In this forest I see that there's gonna be a Shavuos that I'm gonna see in this forest Koilus and Brakim like there was by Matan Torah. And this ended up happening by this Rav Avraham Moshe. He said that once in Shavuos, he was being misbaided on Shavuos in the forest, and he said when he came back that he saw Koilus and Barakim in the forest like Matan Torah. But the Chayz was able to see that with his Ruach HaKodesh, that there would be such an experience like that, and it happened with Rav Avraham Moshe. He was young, he wasn't an old person. He was, but this was to say that he would go out and he was a big misbaided to Tehillim, and that was described by him, that Ruach HaKodesh. Once he, in the early years of his marriage, he was being misboided in the forest. And again, this is also in Shavuos. He had a special inyan in Shavuos. You know, most tzaddikim didn't go to the forest on Shavuos, but he did. And he came back very early one morning, and he asked his wife, Reindel, for Kiddush, that she should put out Kiddush for him. She didn't want to put out Kiddush because she didn't know, she didn't think that he davened yet, because it was so early in the morning. So what did she do? She was a smart woman. She went and she took the Kiddush and she put it in the room of his father, of Simcha Bunim. And that if he would have the guts to make Kiddush in front of his father so early in the morning, then she would know that he taka David. That was like her test. So when she put it down and Simcha Bunim saw what was going on, he understood. He said to her and he said, don't worry. When the Malachim were singing Shira this morning, he davened with them. So he davened already. He davened with the Malachim this morning at the Shas Shir. That's what he said. Not bad, no more?
I mean, I'm not going to tell you. I know what he's talking about.
It'll be makatze because that's let's go to a simcha. Sidi Yitzias Neshama was like this. He was once passing through a city which is called Biala Ravska, which is the small Biala, the clan of Biala. And when he was passing through the city, he said, he looked at the Beis HaChaim and he says, this Beis HaChaim is Meir, this is shining. As if to say he wanted to be buried there. Again, he was very young, but he already saw that his time in this world would be very short. And he was in a city in Varsha, and he was on his way back home. And the people of that city, they heard that the Tzaddik of Rav Moshe was going to be passing nearby. So they gave Sheikha, they bribed the wagon driver, that instead of going home to Pshischa, that they would take him for Shabbos to Biala. To Bial Ktana, and they took the Sheikha. And the Gabbai, only he woke up, it was too late, so they went to this Biala, and the Gabbai was furious. Rav Meisha said, he said, we have to come home right away, but although it was close to Shabbos, Rav Meisha said, no, Ein Shultan V'Yamamavis. This is where my feet, we're here because we need to be here. It was not a good simon that he was talking about his Ptira, so he ran home to his mother. His mother was a very, very chash of a Rebbetzin. She also had a Bichas Yomim, the wife of Simcha Bonim. And she wanted to come very quickly to stop this from happening. You know, before this, he already started to talk about him, his Ptira, and he was going to die. So she once said to her son, she said to Avimei, she says, you know, your father used to say, that a Yid needs to know how he dies before he dies. So he said, Mama, don't worry, I know how to die. He said, but you know, your father said a Yid needs to work very hard, many years to know how to die before he dies. He says, don't worry, Mommy, I got it. I know how to do it. I got it down. When he was dying, on his deathbed, she came. She couldn't make it there before Shabbos, so she had to come back. And she only made it after Shabbos, and when she came, he already had done a whole Shabbos, like he would normally do in Shitra, and he was lying down on the bed, and this would be his last moments, but he looked very peaceful. He looked very comfortable. It wasn't bitzar, lying on the bed after working the whole Shabbos. And the mother was crying. She was going to lose the son at a young age. So she said to him, he said to her, he says, why do you cry, Mommy? He says, you had a husband, that he was as great as the entire Olam. He was equal to the entire Welt. And you have a son like me who is equal to seven worlds. So why do you cry? You have nothing to cry about. And so the Chassidim came and they stood around and they said the Pasuk, Oirech Tzadikim Ka'or Naiga Hoilich Ba'or Anachan Hayoyim. They said that Pasuk. And as soon as they said that Pasuk, he had Yitzias Nishal. And that was it. Just a very short life, 29 years. But like the Kotzker said, a fire which came into the world and it left very quickly. Neshama which the Simcha Bonim plucked from underneath the Kisrekhava. Great, great Neshamas.